Thank you so much, everybody. My name is Margaret Ann. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. I used to eat compulsively. I came to Overeaters Anonymous in February of 1990 as 215 pounds of chain smoking suicidal fun. And my life is very different today. I just wanted to show my tree in the background just to be festive, but I'm going to move myself now because the lighting's not very good. But I was like, I'm not going to be outdone by y'all. But I love it. I really love it. And it's, yeah, it's really wonderful with the theme of celebrating abstinence to see so much, yeah, celebration out there. And I'm very grateful. I'm going to move myself away from the window a little bit. There we go. That's less glare. I'm very grateful to have been asked to do this today because most of you don't know me, but some of you do. And I once spoke at the St. Louis Convention a long time ago, and I've done retreats in the area, and I've done service with at least two people on this call, probably more. And that's a big pitch for service because, of course, it's important. Of course, it keeps OA going. But the most important thing is service is fun. My last time at the World Service Business Convention, one of your co-hosts and I spent hours and hours just running around, but we had a great time because we were doing service and we were with our beloveds, which is the people here. So I'm just going to take a little breath. It's a difficult time of year for everybody for a lot of different reasons, as well as being the most wonderful time of year. And I'm going to quote at the risk of small talk, something I heard another speaker say, and the speaker that preceded me, it's just such a wonderful talk. It's so wonderful to hear those spiritual principles embodied in the steps. But she quoted the song, "Have yourself a merry little Christmas and let your heart be light." And that's a very sad song. If you know the recording, it's sad and it's glad. And it's bittersweet and it's a little melancholy. It's what in Portuguese, they call the quality of saudade, which is something that is happy and sad at the same time. And before this meeting, I was on my home group and I do service for my home group. So I was co-hosting and we had our first Zoom bombing and it was really disruptive, but we pulled together. There were four of us who were doing security. And immediately before that, I had just gotten home. I'd been all night at my in-law's house. My father-in-law is very close to going home. And I know that's going to be really hard for my husband's family, having this happen so close to a holiday that's so important. And I can't imagine a better place to be right now than celebrating abstinence. It is the greatest gift in my life. It's the most important thing in my life without exception. And because of that, as the previous speaker was talking about, there's just so many, I have problems in areas where I didn't used to have areas. That's something that I always have to remember. That so much of the difficulty that I find in life is because of so much of the richness of life. I came into Overeaters Anonymous when I was 30 years old. After a very typical experience of compulsive overeating, I grew up. I discovered that there were certain foods that I really liked. Difficulties started happening. I discovered that those foods would also take care of the difficulties. I learned then that I started gaining weight. And so now I also had a situation in my life, which was that I was a fat little kid. I got teased. Sometimes people would say things like my mother would say things like that. Do you really need that? So I started feeling shame. I would do whatever I needed to get my drug, and then I'd get caught. And seven-year-olds are really not that good covering their tracks with the treats in the house, especially since they were so rare. We didn't have a lot of, and especially at this time of year. So I learned to lie. I learned to manipulate people to get more of what I wanted, even though they probably went, oh, this one, she's really getting pudgy, but oh, the poor thing. I want to make her feel better. And so I started to develop the peculiar mental twists that we have. I started having the spiritual disease that grows out of that shame and that self-deception and that, you know, desire to deceive others. And I started to justify everything I did. And that was, those were the coping mechanisms that that seven-year-old had, were what I brought into my adult life. And I switched many seats on the Titanic. I became an alcoholic. I became a drug addict. Did I mention I was a chain smoker? Yeah, anything. And the only addiction that I'm aware of that I seem to be immune to is gambling. I like bingo. I don't really go play it, but anything else is, no, I'm not going to risk my money. What are you kidding? But I so understand that impulse, which is something's wrong. And if I get something out here, I'm going to feel better. I've actually heard a wonderful restatement of step three, which is stop trying to make myself feel better. Also, stop trying to make things happen. So when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, then I dieted my way up to 215 pounds. I would have gone much farther than that, but I was also a championship dieter, as I said. And so I did have the experience of hitting that number on the scale. And as we used to say back when we had cameras that clicked, I would stay at that magical number as long as it took the shutter to click on the camera, and then back up I was going. And that was just going to be the cycle of my life until I found myself in OA, at which point I had destroyed my body's ability to diet. I had so damaged my metabolism that the commercial diet clubs that I was trying with increasing desperation, increasing drastic measures, and increasing price tags, the amount of money I spent on trying to lose weight. Woo! By the time I got here, none of it worked anymore. And one thing that was wonderful about OA was that I had never heard people talking honestly about it, what it felt like to live between my ears. I had never heard people tell the truth about what it was like to be a compulsive eater. Also, I had never heard people say compulsive eater. I had never heard anybody suggest that I had a disease and that I was never going to be able to overcome it through marshaling my will, through making a decision, making a resolution, joining a club, whatever, swearing off, not swearing off, trying, you know, how that goes. But the one thing that I knew was absolutely not possible, I was never, ever going to be able to abstain from compulsive eating. But I wanted to stay here because I also craved the acceptance and understanding I found here. I had never found a home like I had in OA. And the thing was that what you told me was, that's fine. As long as you have a desire to stop eating compulsively, even though you don't believe you have the ability, you just keep coming. We have a seat for you. That's all that matters. And I did. And on the theme of celebrating abstinence, boy, that didn't look like something to celebrate to me. It looked awful at first. When I heard people talk about what they actually did with food, I can't do that. And the thing is, I don't know if anybody remembers what I said my abstinence time was. I came into Overeaters Anonymous in February of 1990, and I put the food down in November of 1990. I call November the 15th my abstinence date. I didn't know that my last binge was my last binge, but by the grace of God, the fellowship of this program and the program of action outlined in the 12 steps in the big book and our book, Overeaters Anonymous, the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of OA, both of which, I love all our literature, what am I saying? 5 minutes, thank you. Because of that, I haven't found it necessary to return to compulsive eating, and I've been able to maintain pretty much of a 75-pound weight loss. What can I say? I'm 62, I hit menopause, COVID, blah. My life would be perfect if I lost 10 pounds, but whatever. Anyways, the thing is, I'm free. I have freedom from food. And what I heard you say that you did with food sounded absolutely miserable, but there it was. It was November. I had just had a miserable Halloween. And I said to God, I know this is a day at a time program, but please God, I must be abstinent today because I cannot live through another threefold holiday season looking down the barrel of what was to come. Because I knew that from Thanksgiving to Christmas to New Year's, it was going to ratchet up and there was going to be no more January 1st determination and come down. It was just going to stay where it was until it went up again. And that was my life. And the idea of going through the festive season without being able to hit every desk in my workplace that was loaded with booby traps, without being that, just how is that a celebration? But I it happened. I did. And I found that everything I thought it was going to be like, I had no idea. I actually found out what celebration really was. I started to actually enjoy people's company. And so anyway, that was a long time ago. But I celebrate abstinence. I'm grateful that I'm a compulsive overeater because I can't imagine what would have brought me to a place where I could actually say, okay, so I guess it's not going to be a package of this or a bottle of that or whatever came in the pill box. It's not going to be this relationship. It's not going to be praise at this job. It's not going to be this great job. It's not going to be this amount of money. It's not going to be that fabulous new pair of shoes. Nothing is going to make me feel better except getting out of my own way. Nothing is going to make me feel better until I accept life on life's terms. And the previous speaker just laid it all out, all those principles. And today I have faith. I have confidence, in other words, which is another way I like to think about faith. I have confidence that this works. There is a power greater than myself. I use the word God. I don't know what I mean by that. I love to talk to anybody who comes into this program and says, that God thing, that's just a non-starter. I'm like, great, fine, throw it out. There's so many different ways to think about the fact that unless you can explain to me really well how electricity works, you already have faith in a higher. Maybe they can, but I can still find another image, whatever, who cares? The thing about that program of action laid out in those 12 steps and your fellowship that held me and showed me the way is that just as if the lights go out in my house, there's a reason for it. Something has interrupted the flow of that power. 1 minute. And the central fact of my life today is that there is a power that can solve all my problems. I'll tell you, before I got on this meeting, I'm hungry. If you've ever, when you get really overtired, sometimes I feel physically hungry. I'm in Massachusetts. It is going to be lunchtime soon. So we'll take care of that. But the fact that you bear me up and being able to share this with you as being truly something to celebrate, this freedom, that, yeah, I can't imagine what else could bring me to a place that I can bring what's going on in my life today and be there for my husband, not make this about me, because everything was about me, be there for his family. They're really having a hard time and they don't have this, but you know what? It really is just like the third step prayer. Free me from the bondage self, take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those that would help of thy power, thy love and the way of life. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up. In that house, I'm going to go back after I have a little nap, going to go back over there to be with them. In that house, I am not kidding you, everything but cigarettes. There's like full bottles of heavy narcotics. Yum. There are boxes and barrels of sweets. Yum. There's booze all over the place. Nobody would stop me from going it after any of it. It doesn't speak to me at all. Instead, I am able, because of this program, to be with these people and that dying man exactly as they are. What a miracle. And to have the joy of that, to be able to share the joy of Grampy, because he is just a lovely man. And I learned that here. There's nothing good in my life today that I did not get from you people. Thank you so much for inviting me to your party here today.